So if you are in the health and wellness space and you are not selling your programs the way you wanted, and you have this like thing going on where you're not selling and you're not sure why, you may need a very good, excellent copywriter. I have the person for you. She has been in the industry for years, okay? And I cannot believe how amazing she is. Like, we were talking about what copywriting is, what content writing is, what is the difference between the two? You know, how do you, you know, provide a pain point? Like, how do you find out what it is your people need? How do you work with clients? It was such a great episode. And if this is your space, you don't want to miss this episode, because I believe it's going to bring you a lot of great wisdom, and you're going to actually think about this thoroughly. How is it do I get myself on the map when it comes to my health and wellness space? I cannot wait for you to see this. So go ahead. What's up, everybody? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. And I am so excited you're here. I cannot believe my numbers. I'm like looking. I think it was like, I don't even know how many thousands. I think it's like 1,500 or whatever. People have already subscribed, and the videos are just getting tons of hits, over 100 something thousand downloads. Like, you guys are really showing up, and I appreciate you so freaking much. So make sure you don't miss that here. Like, share, subscribe, all that great stuff on the bottom if you are watching. And if you are listening, make sure you leave a review, because we have over 200 five-star reviews, because you know I go around this amazing planet finding the best people I can find to come on here to grow, challenge, and transform your thinking. And today I am thrilled to introduce you to Linda Malone. She is the founder of The Copyworks, a copywriting business that specializes in the health and fitness space. Now, Linda is a seasoned copywriter, a former personal trainer, and fitness expert for women over 50. That's me, y'all, over 50, okay? Now, she's graced the pages of top publications like MSN Health, Oxygen, Time, Shape, and so on. Like, she is the real deal. She's even ghostwritten for high-profile celebrity fitness experts. And at 65, I know, yeah, look at the camera, because I'm telling you, this woman don't look nowhere near 65. Okay, at 65, Linda is often mistaken for being in her 40s. Yes, she is. And thanks to her secret of combining a sunscreen and good jeans and working out and all that great stuff, I'm so glad she is here. So thank you for coming on to Straight Talk, Linda. It's a thrill to have you. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for the introduction. I'm hoping I can live up to all of it.
It's your resume, woman. It's your resume. It's so good to have you. You know, I love speaking to experts and people who have worked many years in their field, right? And so you come on here, and we have a lot of like entrepreneurs and thought leaders and solopreneurs and stuff that listen to the show. And I love leaving them with just authentic ways of living their life, right, Linda? So the first way we start is by knowing a little bit more about you. So I gave a little resume, but who are you, Linda? Let's start there. Who are you?
It's so funny, because I know you start your conversations like that. And before I got on here, I was thinking, how would somebody describe me? We're all such a sum of all of our years of everything we've done, right?
Yeah.
I would have to say probably a creative introvert. My friends know me as that funny person. Like, if they need to laugh, they call me. Everyone always says, you're just so hilarious. That. I love kind of just playing off people. I'm a huge fan of like stand-up comedy.
Me too.
I have this thing where I get obsessive about things and I go into them 100%. I've been in so many different types of entrepreneurial endeavors, and I burn out and then I go on to something else. But the two things that have stayed with me is the writing and the fitness. And so I'm very fitness oriented. I write just for fun. I mean, and I don't know, it's kind of weird, but it's like, I just have an upbeat attitude. I think, and I always credit looking younger than my age and my years to having a good attitude. I don't act like my age, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I have had people say that. It's like, you act like you're way younger. And it's like, 'cause I'm not cranky. I don't complain about my health. I don't talk about my joints, you know.
I love that.
I avoid people like that. So.
That's so fun. That's so. And I think laughter does something to the soul, doesn't it? I love stand-up comedy too, and I'm really old school, so I like really politically incorrect type of comedy. You know, like that's my thing. So it's, you know, I love those old school comedians, but because I love to laugh. I mean, I find life to be funny, and sometimes maybe at things I shouldn't be laughing at, but I find it funny, and then I just like laughing to myself, like I shouldn't say that out loud, but it's true. That's true. Yeah. But I love that, right? So Linda, is that something that you've always had though, the fitness piece, or is it something you discovered, you know, later in life? Like, tell me a little bit about that.
I've been working out since I was 21. And okay. I think the thing that brought me to doing at the time, in full disclosure, I had an eating disorder. I was really in bad shape at that age. And I don't even remember, it was so long ago, but I just decided to join this small little boutique gym near me. And to be honest, I hated it because I was so weak. I was so thin. Mm. And I remember the trainer taking me through this one machine, and it was one of, they call it like a pin loading machine, where you take the pin and it determines how much weight you're lifting. And I couldn't lift it until she took the pin completely out and there was hardly any weight on it. And I remember looking at her face and I said, "What's that look for?" She goes, "Nothing. You're just not a very strong girl." Like she had made a face. Mm-hmm. And then I decided, well, I'm going to prove her wrong. So I worked hard. And within about 6 months, I remember she came up to me and said, "You know, I know how you started, but pound for pound, you're the strongest woman in this gym now." And it took a long time. That's, and so I don't know, good. I just got hooked into it, and I started doing, you know, changing up what I was doing. I would take classes. I mean, I was there through the Flashdance era. I was taking like two classes a day, and the craziness. Weight training has always been my big thing though. I love lifting and I'm built for it. I'm kind of short and I have short muscles. I'm not a runner. Like I'm the slowest person ever in history. But I'm strong for my size. So,
Right.
And I've never stopped. I've always worked out. So I've been consistent with weight training for over 40 years.
Wow. That's so good. Right. Because, you know, I think like for me, I started off like that, like in, you know, my youth, I used to dance all the time and I was working out all the time. And then I kind of just stopped, and it was more of a rebellious thing, you know, working out all the time, being strong and whatever. And then, but still having people insult you, "Oh, you're fat," whatever, when I wasn't. Now that I look at the pictures, I'm like, oh my gosh, I was a size 7. Like I was not fat, you know, but I let it get to me in my mind, and I just like let it like completely, you know, get away. It was funny because the other day I was working out with my daughter-in-law, who loves working out, and I had lost a spark for that, Linda. So we were working out, and all of a sudden I fell in love again. Like I just like felt so good being in pain. I was in a lot of pain, but it felt so good. And I'm like, oh my gosh, is that a little spark of what I used to feel, you know, back like 30 years ago or whatever? And I'm like, well, I need to get that back, Linda, because, you know, I'm 52, right? And so I want to live the second part of my life way better than I've been living the first part. And we don't even know how much time we have, right? So that's why I love that you're so youthful and young, and you love to be funny and creative and moving forward and all that great stuff, right? So I know that you were also in personal training at some point. So what happened there? Like why start the copywriting stuff? Did you find that business was challenging, or what was that about?
It was a real gradual transition. So I was a personal trainer. I got my certification in 1995. So it was a long time ago. I started working out with people at a small boutique, and I'll make a very long story short. They started asking me to work them out at home because they weren't happy with the gym itself and the management. So I started training people at home. And then at the same time, there was a magazine that I was noticing in my neighborhood. I was in Orange County, California. And there was a free publication that had a fitness column. And I thought, you know what? They could use, because I was training people in home, they could use an article about how to set up your home gym. Because people always ask me that. How much space do I need for a treadmill? What kind of weights do I need? So I pitched the editor an idea. And I've always been good at writing, but I never really pursued it. Mm-hmm. And he wrote back. He said, "Sure, you know, just write it up." So I did it. And I remember he called me which floored me. I still remember I was on the phone call with a friend and I said, I got to go. This is the editor of this magazine. And he said, this is awesome. Do you want to write for us on a regular basis? So I started writing for them. I ended up doing cover stories that had nothing to do with fitness, just everything. I was writing cover stories. I was writing. He just said, I don't need to edit any of your pieces. They're so clean. And then
that's awesome. Especially now with ChatGPT doing it all. I love that.
Yeah. And this was way before chat.
Yeah.
Like a glimmer in some, computer. I ended up pitching some of the national publications. I thought, well, if I can write for him, I can write for others. And it took a long time. When I look back at it now, I didn't even realize what I was doing. Like I was getting, one editor would like me. Here's an example. Like I was writing for a publication. It was online at the time called iVillage, which is no longer. That editor went to the Today Show and she got me like assignments with the Today Show as a ghostwriter. And so when an editor likes you, they follow you, they bring along the writers, so I ended up writing for Woman's Day and Family Circle and I was in Time Magazine and I just kind of hit this glass ceiling though, where it was like, I've done everything I could. Print publications were folding. This is now 2017, 2016 around then. And so I decided to do an online course for women over 50. I did that for 5 years. I treated everything like a hobby though. I don't have that business sense. And I did a lot of things wrong. And for that reason, I couldn't make the money I wanted to make. So I said, let me go back to writing, but I don't want to do content anymore because I was so burned out from all the magazines. And so I said, well, let me do copywriting. It's a whole different ballgame though. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize till I get into it. It's more on the marketing end. It's not as easy as people think. Like I thought, I'm the writer. I can do copywriting. Wrong. I learned the hard way by turning in some pieces that the editor was like, this isn't going to work. And I didn't know what was wrong. So I ended up studying with some high-level copywriting coaches to really learn the right way. And here I am. I mean, so now I decided to merge it into specializing in the health and fitness niche because that's what I know.
Can you like break that down just a little bit for me? What would be the difference between what you were writing before and copywriting today? Because I think, that's one of the things, because I'm not a copywriter, right? I hire a copywriter. I don't know how to copyright. So, and I want to know the difference, right? I'm sure there's a lot of entrepreneurs and stuff listening right now. They're like, wait a minute. So writing isn't copyright. Like, give me a little bit of a breakdown of that.
Yeah, that's a great question because I get that a lot. Content writing, magazine writing, blog posts are considered content. There's some crossover, but it's usually to entertain and inform. Mm-hmm. Copywriting is writing that is geared to have people take some kind of action. You want them to sign up. You want them to buy from you. You want them to, sign up for a free trial, whatever it is that you're selling. And it's a different approach completely. You can still entertain and inform, but there is that purpose. Like I always start with the end in mind. What is it that this client wants? They want them to sign up for this thing. So there's formulas like PAS, pain agitation solution is the most popular one for copywriting. You present the pain or the challenge, then you agitate it through your copy, and then you offer the solution, which can be your offer, could be something else. An article, if I were to write just say for on heart health, say, because I did a lot of stories like that for like these women's publications, I might start with open with a story about a woman who had a heart attack. I've done that a number of times. Like I actually talk to people and I will start with a really impactful opening story to pull people in. But the article will be about, taking care of your heart. What are some things people don't know about it and that sort of thing. And there usually isn't a call to action at the end. I mean, you want people to take care of their heart health, but you're not really saying it. Now, if somebody had say it was a program on like a workout that's specific for, cardio, that's really, good for your heart, it would be like, what would be the pain point? And this is where it's really touchy because when you're dealing with health, and you can't make that pain point like really a pain point, But off the top of my head, it's not something I can do off the top of my head. But I would talk to people, find out what are their biggest challenges. Like, say they work out, but they hate it. And so it might be something about that. So the banner might be, you know, cardio workouts for people who hate the treadmill, or, you right, know, just right, something taking away what they don't like. And yeah, then it would be agitating it. Like, what if you don't do anything about this kind of scenario? And then here's what you can do. Here's, you know, the solution. So it's a very different approach, and it uses more behavioral psychology.
Yeah.
I learn a lot about that. I mean, that's how do people make decisions? And what yeah, makes them.
For those who are listening that are like coaches in that space, right, in health and wellness and all that, in all spaces, really, I think you have to really first find out what the pain point is, right? Like, what why are you doing what you're doing? So copywriting is also, you know, that's a skill. Copywriting is a skill. And it's funny because most people think, oh, Perplexity or ChatGPT will be my copywriter. The problem with that is that it's very basic. It doesn't all, it pulls in from everywhere, and it is not right, very aligned with what you need. It's more aligned with what, oh, this is what the niche or the most people are doing thing is. And that's what I'm seeing a lot of. It's like mm-hmm, the same repetitive, like almost the same repetitive words in yes, different, you know, things and copies. And I'm like, boy, that really sounds like a ChatGPT thing, you know, because it just sounds the same. So I respect you for saying, well, I'm not going to come up with this off the cuff. I need to, you know, think about it. That's great, because that means there is a human element to this and somebody who is strategically looking at this. And not that I'm, you know, bad mouthing AI. I think AI is very good, and I think it has its place.
Right.
I think though, Linda, a lot of us are losing our way because we are dependent too much now on AI and what it's going to say or how it's going to lead us and all that. And we're cutting out what we don't think we need anymore, but that's not really true. You do right, need a copywriter. You do. You need that kind of thing. Like, you do need a personal trainer instead of, hey, ChatGPT, can you give me a workout for the next week? It doesn't matter, because right, it can give you the whole workout for the next week. If somebody's not there to help guide you, you're not going to do the whole workout. Do you agree with that?
Oh yeah, 100%. And the thing too with ChatGPT is, you know, we make decisions based on emotion.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean people, you know, poo-poo that. It's like, oh no, I'm a logical person. It doesn't mean that you break down to tears when you see copy that is going to motivate you. It just means that there's a part of your brain that is emotionally responding to what you're reading.
Right.
And it's something that ChatGPT cannot do. I've even asked Chat itself, because I do use it for brainstorming a lot.
Yeah.
And it's great for outlining. It's great for distilling down different things. I never use it for writing because it just never comes up with, it can't come up with something original. Right. And that's the thing. It's pulling from the internet. So it's all right, been done. It's all been said. Uses the same words over and over. But when you want to have somebody take action, especially in health and fitness, you have to dig a little bit. Like, what, you have to talk to people. Chat's not going to talk to people. It's not going to talk right, to your customers
right,
yet. So I interview a lot of people. And the reason I say I can't come up with something off the top of my head is that I shouldn't be able to. As a copywriter, everything I do is backed by research and interviews with people.
Right.
So it's also kind of my defense when, you know, a client says, well, I don't like the way this sounds. Well, this is what your customer said. Those were their exact words. Right. Like, that's how I can always back myself up. And you right, have to at least try it, you know. There's that. But yeah, it uses the same thing over and over. It doesn't create, it just kind of yeah, combines things.
Yeah, so. But look at the work that you're doing behind the scenes, right? Like, making sure that you understand where that customer is coming from and all that. I talk to my women about that too, because I teach women how to create their own coaching businesses. And so they're like, oh, I want to do this. I'm like, okay, why? And sometimes they can't even narrow the niche all the way down. I'm like, you need to find out if people even want what you're talking about and who it is that you're talking to. Right. And so that's why I love that you niched it down too, to the health and wellness space. Like, these are your people. Right.
Yeah.
So when do you think, whoever's listening right now that may need your services, but don't even know that they do. Right. So, Linda, when do they need a copywriter? When does a person who is either starting or growing their business need a copywriter to come on into their business?
You should have a solid offer. Like, you should know what you have. Just a little backstory on myself. The way that I even knew about, like, I'm a conversion copywriter. And what that means is I'm certified through this agency that certifies, you know, what I do. So I found these people because I was looking into hiring a copywriter for my fitness business when I had the online course. Mm-hmm. And I didn't hire this person because she said, you don't really know what your offer is yet. And she goes, to her credit, she goes, you don't need me yet. You have to know what exactly you have. On the other hand, if somebody is not sure of their like value proposition, what is the single thing that separates you from all your competitors? Mm-hmm. I can help with that, but you should have a very solid offer. You know, this is the program. This is who it's for. And then I can get to work. Because the first thing I do is I ask, you know, can I talk to your customers, past, present, people that you've worked with? I want to hear from them what they have to say about you. Why did they hire you instead of somebody else? So I can differentiate you from them. Then we come up with a value proposition, a single line that says everything you do that's different. And I take that, and it takes, by the way, it takes like 4 weeks. This isn't like an overnight thing. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking to people. I go on Reddit to see where people are complaining about whatever that
I
that
do too. Happened.
Yeah. And I get all the information. And then everything I write would be based on that. I keep going back to the value prop. Okay. Does this support this?
Yeah.
So I think as long as you have a good offer and you know who your audience is, I mean, I can help with some of it, but you should have a pretty good idea already of where you're going. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you said that because I think people don't realize the work that goes into this and what they should already have coming to the table with a copywriter, right? Because that's important. A copywriter is not a magician. I mean, they can't just do everything for you. You have to know some of what you're doing. And that's why, you know, I really kind of pinhole their niche as far down as I can. Yeah. Otherwise, it really isn't landing. It isn't landing. So Linda, when somebody has an offer, like they have an offer, they have the course, they have everything built out, they have all that kind of stuff. Do you at least help them or is there a way for them to strategize on why their message isn't falling on the right places? Maybe it's a tweak. Do you think it just, for some people, could just be a tweak in the messaging?
It could be that. The first thing I would look at is to talk to, you know, the people that are buying from you or that may buy from you. Because like you said earlier, if you don't know, you know, who your audience is, I forget exactly how you word it, but I mean, you have to know where you're going, like who you're talking to.
Right.
If you're blindly sending out an ad or an email and you don't really know who's receiving it, you don't know how they talk, what they're looking for. Like usually people often will hire me to do an email sequence first. Mm-hmm. And I like that because it's a shorter turnaround. I do some research. I don't do all of it for that. But it's also a quick way to see if what you're saying and what you're putting out there is like, if people are opening your emails, are they opening it? Right. Are they clicking on it? Right. And so you can tell then if you're on the right track, but it's really, it's just the research. Mm-hmm, there's no shortcut to it.
Thank you. Yeah. There's no shortcut to it. And I think that that's one of the things that we're challenged with, right? I mean, that people think everything is going to be so quick and easy, and that is not the case. And I tell that to the women that come into my program immediately. I'm like, I hope you don't think you're going to have, you know, 50K months in 2 days. It's just not going to happen. Right. You know, like you have to put in the work, you got to do the research, you got to build the system. And, you know, and that also requires feedback and interviewing and all kinds of stuff, which is what you're referring to. So yeah. I want to ask a little personal question. Do you like copywriting more than you liked content writing, or do you miss going back, or how do you feel about it?
It's so funny you say that because I've gotten back into doing some blogs now, which is considered content. I don't mind writing blogs for myself. Like content writing to me is more fun. Copywriting is very intense. It takes me, I really have to focus, and I have a hard time with focus because my mind is like always all over. I like the challenge of the copywriting because to have everything fall into place. And I've had one client recently said, you know, it took us, he says, you put into one sentence what has taken us 2 years to figure out. Because I just combined everything. And the thing is, too, when you're in a business, it's really hard to see outside. How mm-hmm. are people looking at your business? Yeah. How do they see you? Yeah. You know? So it's true. It's finding that that messaging that really resonates. And I had another one, had a client, and they wanted to add some humor, which is like, that's right up my alley. So it was an email that went out that literally when I ran it past him, he burst out laughing. And I said,
that's awesome.
Because it was like, it was a software program. And the whole thing was that it was, you know, he's targeting people who use these outdated programs. And so the subject line was, hey, the 90s called ... And it says they want their flip phone back or something like that. And he said, that's awesome. This is perfect. And it landed him a $70,000 contract.
Awesome. So, that's what I'm talking about. The power of copywriters is freaking priceless, man. It's priceless. Because most of us just kind of think of things, especially when you're blinded, like when you're in your business and you're in it all the time and on the computer all the time and you're working all the time, working, you become very logical in your thinking and you sometimes don't think outside of those lines. And so I think it takes a copywriter to think outside of those lines and as a, you know, as a third person looking in to make it effective, right? So talk to me about your clients. What kind of clients do you work with? You know, what's your ideal person? Like all that kind of stuff. I want to know a little bit more about that.
My ideal client would be a B2B, but not necessarily. I mean, I focus on B2B because usually there's a marketing department that is able to hire me. Health and fitness, alternative medicine, fitness would be ideal. So maybe a company that sells software to gyms, like I've worked with them before.
Okay.
Anything, and it doesn't even have to be. I mean, right now I'm working with a fastener company, you know, and so it's literally widgets. I mean, it's not mm-hmm. my thing. I'm learning a lot about nuts and bolts, like more than I ever wanted to. But fitness comes easily to me. And I know the lingo. I'm in that environment. I live it. So that's what makes it in health, of course. So so I have clients that are entrepreneurs as well as, you know, in the B2B space, business to business.
And is it something that they kind of can just contact you and see, you know, like, is it like a one-time thing? Is it they should work with you for a little? Because I think for copywriting, you should be with someone for quite some time because it takes time to develop that relationship. And also the language between you and that copywriter they have to align with your business. They can't do that on a one-off, but I don't want to speak for you. So how does that work out?
No, I agree. There's people, it's funny because I just posted on LinkedIn about this, about being a partner in a business versus just having, you know, one project kind of deal.
Yeah.
I've done both. Ideally, I like to get to really know the company and the people in it. And the ones that have stayed with me longest, when I can get into their environment and really get the vibe of the company, the writing is that much better because now I know where you're coming from. It's, you know, people sometimes don't want that. So I do either, but I mean, you can contact me on my site and, you know, we can do a consult. I have a lot of information on there. You can see basically how I work. I have some freebies, some resources.
Great.
21 phrases to never use in your copy is probably the most popular.
I love that. I love that because I bet you we are using all of them. That's why you have them on a copy, on a sheet. So give us that information then, Linda. If somebody's listening right now and really is like, I really do need a copywriter and somebody with expertise and seriousness. And I know I have a lot of health and fitness coaches and stuff like that on this. I definitely know that because I speak to them all the time. So tell me how they can contact you and at least, you know, have a consultation with you and see if they could work with you.
I mean, you can email me at linda@thecopyworks.com or get onto my site. There's a contact page. You can, you know, dig around and see I do have a couple of offers, but they all lead to having a conversation with me because it's most of what I do is custom. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the best way. I do have my own podcast, the marketing, B2B marketing and copywriting podcast. But yeah, it's easy to reach. I'm on LinkedIn a lot. So you can find me
there. So they can find you anywhere. That's what you're saying. I love that. I love that. And I love that you have the podcast too. So on the podcast, are you mostly just really focusing on the copywriting and the B2B, or is it more health and fitness, or what are you focusing on there?
It's more marketing, like kind of general marketing, branding, copywriting. Sometimes I have some other copywriters on. I do solo broadcasts where I do just a copywriting tip or something. I had started out targeting SaaS companies, software as a service. So I've had the podcast for 3.5 years, and the older interviews are really with just general marketing. I'm trying to now hone it down to the health and fitness. So people in that space.
Great. Okay, great. What's the name of it again?
B2B Marketing and Copywriting Podcast.
Okay. Yeah. See, I love that. Straight to the point. The name is straight to the point, and people know that's the other thing, right? Is the confusion sometimes in our language. I feel like the simpler you are, the more straightforward you are, the better you are. I think that sometimes when you have way too much language, way too much fluffiness and that's just me though. Way too much fluffiness and all that. It loses people. At least it loses me. Right. Yeah. Do you agree with that? Like simpler is better.
And that's what I always look at. What are people looking for? What are the keywords they're going to be typing? When I look in Spotify, I look at certain subjects and what's going to pop up. So,
yeah. I remember once looking at a mission statement for an old, an organization I used to work for a while ago. Beautiful organization, by the way, love them. But the mission statement was, an expert came in and is like, a normal mission statement is about 8 words. And we're like, okay. And they're like, can anybody here recite your mission statement? We couldn't. And he's like, of course, because it's 36 words. Like at some point you're going to lose people with all these words. And we're like, couldn't agree more. So funny. But I thank you so much for spending this time here, Linda, and like leaving all of that, wisdom and knowledge on the table for everyone who's listening. I definitely love this conversation because I love when people are experts and just kind of just, demystify it all and kind of help you to really navigate that. So thank you so much, Linda. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on, Nina.
I'm so glad. Yeah, it has. Guys, thank you so much for joining me and Linda. And I copywriting, I'm telling you, it is a skill. It is a skill. I have definitely, written things and have my copywriter look and they're like, don't say this, don't say this, don't say this. I'm like, dang, I thought I was good. I'm not that good. So just make sure that you guys connect with Linda, especially if you're in the health and wellness space. I think it's amazing that you guys are out there already doing the health and wellness stuff. And some of you are just being challenged by maybe the lingo or the words or the pain point or all that stuff that you're not hitting. So have a conversation with Linda. Make sure you guys get clear on what it is you're putting out there because the world needs you. It needs your voice. It needs who you are. It needs what you offer. I mean, you didn't build all of this for nothing, right? So get a good copywriter on your side so that you can actually impact the lives that you're trying to impact. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. This is Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.